It's a great song. It's catchy. This, I feel like, am I overstating 70% of our audience has heard this song?
If you've been to a sporting event, you've certainly heard it.
I just feel like this song is everywhere. Yeah, I mean,
a spot, yeah.
This song is everywhere. It's very catchy.
It's a very popular song.
I like it. He's, is it late night? I think he's also performing at...
somebody texted that in, yes.
At late night or at something like that. I believe that is correct.
Really?
We're going to get into some...
You can get Shaboozy in person, Gold.
Yeah.
Get out there for late night for the first time since college.
The only reason why Mike goes, they renovated the field house or whatever. Maybe you want to check it out. We're going to talk local college. We already mentioned Kansas's loss to Illinois. A bad, bad loss. And the big question, whether or not that's who Jalen Daniels is going to be. If that's the case, big, big problems for the Jayhawks. We're going to talk here in about 8 minutes about the Wildcats, who squeaked one out down in Tulane. Turns out to be a really good win for K-State. I think they're holding Avery Johnson back, though, if you're talking bigger picture for them. So we'll get into that in just a little bit. But week one in the NFL almost wrapped up. We know tonight Aaron Rodgers will kick off what he hopes to be a full season for the Jets against the San Francisco 49ers out in the Bay Area. Obviously, he has ties to that area as well. But with an NFL Sunday, at least in the rearview mirror, one of the takeaways I had was just offense, is this what it's going to be? Is this where we're at? It's kind of the cycle.
Down 2 years in a row for week one.
The cycle of every 4 or 5 years, defense catches up. Or is this, hey, it's week one, the preseason, teams just don't play it anymore, and there's a lot of rust because only two quarterbacks, we'll see what happens tonight, but two quarterbacks have thrown for over 300 yards in week one. That's it. Matthew Stafford last night
happily
in a loss.
For less than 175.
And in Tua in the win against the Jaguars, and as you said, yeah, I mean, you take a look, and if you just go and pull
Kyler
up.
Kyler Murray, 163. Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
Caleb Williams, 93. I mean, it doesn't matter. You can look across the board.
Only 33 passing touchdowns so far, and that's the lowest in 6 years by a wide margin. 54 was the next lowest during that same stretch. So maybe a week from now, we're going to fast forward and say, man, there was 8 quarterbacks that threw for over 300 and somebody threw for 6 touchdowns and it was a crazy offensive performance. Who knows? But it's something I'm going to keep an eye on because I tend to think this is...
I think his defense is catching up.
Defense is balanced out a little bit. This happens every couple years in the NFL.
I think what's happened is the same thing that's been happening to the Chiefs for years has invaded the rest of the NFL. And because the emergence of the mobile quarterback has become a bigger part, the dual threat quarterback has become a bigger part of the guys who have been drafted over the last 2-3 years, the short passing game, the quick passing game has become more of a thing in the NFL, and now teams are able to key in on it. This is the advantage the Chiefs might have if Xavier Worthy and Hollywood and all this other stuff comes the rest of the way to fruition because, yeah, I think part of it is that. One thing that absolutely stood out to me, because like there was a lot of takeaways. If you just want to make week one everything, right? You go, let's make week one everything. I mean, one, the Packers are in trouble if Jordan Love's going to be out for a while and they already lost their first game. But our suspicions were confirmed on the AFC West, weren't they? I mean, come on. Did any of those teams look like a team that could actually threaten the divisional streak by the Chiefs? The Chargers and the Raiders looked equally as terrible against each other with kind of lifeless offenses dueling it out in a, you know, in a clawless cat fight against each other. And then not to even bring up Denver, who looked lost a huge chunk of the game. And technically their quarterback was the second worst rated quarterback of the week and only to Bryce Young. So, I mean, if you look across the board, one thing that absolutely is the AFC West doesn't look like scary at all again. Just looks like the Chiefs are going to win the AFC West and we get to move on with our lives and nobody else is a real threat.
There, yeah, if you were waiting to see something out of week one that was going to change your opinion about any team in the AFC West other than Kansas City, you didn't get that. You got confirmation on what we think the Raiders are going to be. I thought there was a chance they could upset the Chargers. They had
their 4th-and-1 on the 43, maybe.
I felt like they had an opportunity, but ultimately the Chargers win. J.K. Dobbins looked really good for them. Which is a big plus for what they want to do this year. But yeah, the Broncos look much
really
like last
That's your
year.
Guy.
He is, yeah. I mean, the Broncos look much like they did with Russell Wilson. Now, it's game one for Bo Nix, so there's still the unknown upside and the upside that exists there. And yeah, if we're basing off a QB rating, him and he was slightly better than Caleb Williams statistically. A lot of check down stuff, some missed opportunities down the field. So yeah, the AFC West is what we thought. We think it's going to be a really bad division, and much of what we saw yesterday backed that up.
It's like the AFC South looks like it's going to be a fight. start to finish, somebody's going to win that division with 10 or 11 games, and they're going to beat the hell out of each other. The Jags will somehow get the Texans. The Texans will get the Colts like they did. The Colts will go back and get the Jags. Like, it'll just be like them beating up on each other. The West didn't feel that way at all. I will say, the AFC South still has a chance to be the best quarterbacked division from a there is no weakness, except for one team kind of holding that down a little bit with Will Levis. But, I mean, Stroud still looks like he can play some ball. We didn't get a lot of Anthony Richardson last year, but what I saw yesterday doesn't make me think he's any worse. And I've never been, like, too high on Trevor Lawrence, but I've never been too low either. He made one throw yesterday that was the reason why people still fall in love with him. That one in the back of the end zone to Brian Thomas Jr., that throw was nuts.
Yeah, who out of the teams that lost yesterday do you think, I know there's no moral victories, but when you look at their quarterback play, you look at just their outlook, who do you think feels the best that lost? If that makes sense. I know some
who looked the best that lost?
Yeah, I mean, nobody likes to lose, but I would put when we just mentioned them. Yeah. I think the Colts, because of Anthony Richardson's performance, I think you feel good about their performance out of the quarterback
Cardinals
spot.
With Kyler Murray?
I think it's fair to say the Jaguars.
I mean, he only finished with 170 yards passing, but it looked better than that.
I think the Jaguars looked good. In terms of just, I know that they kind of blew the game with Travis Etienne not scoring there, but I mean, defensively, they looked like the Jaguars did limit the Dolphins enough, other than the big play to Tyreek Hill. They did a nice job not allowing any big plays. And then Trevor Lawrence looked really good on that throw to Brian Thomas Jr. That was ridiculous.
I would say
Joe Burrow.
I would say the Rams, but the problem is they got a ton of injuries out of that loss last night.
Puka.
Yeah. Puka's banged up with a knee injury again. They had already a couple offensive linemen hurt. They lost another one yesterday, it looks like. So that's the only thing where they were right there and almost beat the Lions. But the injuries could be really problematic for them. Yeah, do you feel great about the Cincinnati Bengals after that loss yesterday?
You thought Joe Burrow, their offense performed the best in the loss?
How about Jacoby Brissett and the Patriots, baby?
I will say I don't feel particularly great after that game. I don't know who was worse in terms of the day yesterday, the Falcons, the Bengals, or the Giants.
What the hell happened to Cincinnati?
The Panthers.
So you scored 10 points against the Patriots.
Bengals were hosting Jacoby Brissett in a first-time head coach, and the Patriots controlled the entire game. I know they won by 6. They didn't blow them out, but they were in control the entire game.
Yeah. They were able to take time off the clock. They got stops defensively early on. The Bengals didn't get off to a good start. Everything that the Patriots did went well for them. They forced
turnovers.
You
got beat by a team whose leading receiver was 2 catches for 31 yards in Austin Hooper.
Jacoby Brissett
followed by Tyquan Thornton's 2 for 27.
Joe, how much does this sting?
Yeah, it hurts.
Ramondre Stevenson was very good, so I guess at least that.
We're going to get into this again. The storyline going into this Bengals Chiefs game is the same that it was last year in my mind. It's not going to happen, but if you can run the ball against the Bengals, if you run the ball, you're going to win the game. That's how it looked yesterday.
That seems a little problematic when they knew it was coming and they still could not stop it.
That's a problem. That's who they were last year.
Yeah, but their offense, you're mentioning the defense, and I'm with you. Offense didn't do anything against New England either.
Correct. But the reason they're not going to be able to win the whole thing or go to the playoffs or win the division is because of the defense being as bad as they are. The offense is going to be okay. They're going to figure it out. But defensively, they were dead last in yards allowed per play last year. They went 9-8 last year. Even if Joe Burrow were healthy last year, they were not winning anything because the defense was so bad. If the defense wasn't as good for the Chiefs as it was last year, they were not going to win the Super Bowl. So I think in terms of what makes or breaks your team, the defense for the Bengals is the number one cause for concern because it's as bad as it was last year.
We get these things wrong. We get these things wrong all the time. So I may just have been wrong. This entire time, I think everybody's been waiting for it, for the window to close on the Bills. Sure, it's just not Cincinnati. They've made the postseason twice in 6 years under Joe Burrow. He got hurt again last year. They didn't make the postseason. And they're off to another wretched start after 1 week this year with a chance to go 0-2 for the, and I am not kidding, fifth time in 6 years under Joe Burrow if they lose to the Chiefs on Sunday. Like, are we sure it's not just them that are fried? Joe Burrow makes a bunch of money. Jamar Chase is around the corner from making a bunch of money. T. Higgins can't stay on the field, but they're not going to pay him at the end of the year anyway. Their offensive line has never been particularly good. It was okay yesterday and still gave up 3 sacks. They got no pass rush. Like,
I'm sure it's not just like
so Joe Burrow's played. So this is Joe Burrow's fifth season. They played 4 years.
This is year six. Yeah.
No, this is year five.
Is it?
Yes.
Are you not counting year one in which he missed the entire year? Okay, that's fine.
No, I am counting year one. He was in 2020 was his first season. Okay. When he tore his ACL. But he's been hurt 2 years. The 2 years he's been healthy. They went to the AFC title game. So I know it's not. I think Zach Taylor is in a position where, I know we talked about coaches, he's positioned himself where him making that Super Bowl run, I think, is maybe potentially going to save his job, depending on how the Bengals do this year, if they find a way to sneak in.
I mean, but they started 0-2, 1-2, 0-2, and 0-2. Now 0-1.
They are 1-10 in the first 2 weeks of the season, and I think that's a cause for concern because
I would say so.
Nobody has been this bad to open the season. I don't know what it is. What is going on
Brissett, man. This is how it sounded in Cincy on, 700 WLW. This was a post-game caller.
That was one of the most pathetic performances I've ever seen. Can you please explain? Zach Taylor, what do they do in the preseason? What do they do in training camp to get ready? They should have came out and boat raced that team. Joe Burrow is a $250 million quarterback and completed 21 passes for 164 yards. What is that?
That's a reasonable caller, actually, in Cincy. He's 100% correct. Shouldn't happen. I don't care. We can come up with T. Higgins wasn't there. Guess what? T. Higgins, according to Adam Schefter, unlikely to play Sunday at Arrowhead.
No, I'm not. T. Higgins' absence, it was felt, but that's
there was
not the reason.
No offense.
It was felt,
yesterday.
But that's not the reason they lost.
So almost like Jamar Chase taking like six full weeks off of work.
Joe Burrow had
biggest upset of the season.
Somebody texted in, the worry is the horrendous offensive line. You did not watch the game because
I mean, he did give up three sacks, but correct, I didn't watch the game like the way you watched it.
Joe Burrow was the reason why two of those sacks happened. He put his head down and he.
That's also sadly kind of a common trend with Joe Burrow. He gets himself sacked sometimes he shouldn't.
Yeah, the offensive line actually, in terms of pressure, just pressure period, forget sacks, pressure period, third lowest percentage of pressure that he's ever had, and guys weren't getting open. I think he, not having played a little bit and him being a little bit nervous, I don't know what it was, he did get his wrist hit early on. It looked like it was a little bit, I don't know if it was SWAT. I know they mentioned it on the broadcast.
I want this to be a fair fight this year. I'll be honest.
He was
got a lot on the line.
He was flexing his hand a little bit.
I don't want to sit at McDonald's for 24 straight hours.
True. Cody, I mean, despite making the bet with you, I think Cody's kind of on your side. You guys know how Cody feels about Cincy.
So I hope they lose to Cincinnati. What was the context of that quote?
I don't know. You've said you hope they lose to Cincinnati.
To Cincinnati. I don't remember the context of that quote, but that doesn't sound like me. That's probably doctored.
There are a number of teams that had bad game days. None as worse as Will Levis, as we mentioned.
No, none as worse as Cincinnati, dude. None as worse as Cincinnati. They lost at home to the New England Patriots, who might be a bottom three team. That is the worst loss of the week one of the NFL season. Doesn't matter what happens tonight for the Jets and Niners, it will not be a worse loss.
And good news is for you, there's 16 more games after this one.
But on the show last week, I don't remember who it was, but didn't the conversation come up that it's week one of the college football season. Why are we overreacting? Who's to say that New England doesn't win 7 games this year?
Nah, I mean, everyone.
I'm saying that.
Because I think that if they win 6 or 7 games, I think you both need to retract your statement on this being a bad loss.
Okay. Happily.
Because likewise,
happily retract my statement.
Because
I'd be shocked if they won 5.
Because look,
they looked like garbage.
Yeah, but I know that the Chiefs won the Super Bowl last year, which
and the year before.
But if we're talking bad losses in a regular season game, they lost to the Raiders.
That was also a bad
loss. That was a bad loss.
That was the worst loss of that week.
So I don't.
No question.
I don't. It's week one.
It is only week one, but I don't know how you can dispute that wasn't the worst loss of week one, Drew. That was the biggest upset of week one as well. And the Cincinnati Bengals, the reason why it's the worst loss, Carolina has no expectation to do a damn thing. We all know they suck. People think Cincinnati are actually good, Drew. That's why it's the worst loss.
But what you both have said before on the show, there's no blowouts in the NFL.
No, there's not.
For you to lose by 37 points in an NFL.
We know Carolina sucks, though.
No, it doesn't matter how bad you suck. Because the talent gap is the same as what you were saying 2 weeks ago, Cody.
Yeah, it's bad.
37 points.
That's probably the second worst loss of the weekend.
That is the worst loss of the weekend.
Real quick, though, Drew. Bad news on your... There's a logic-related issue with your If the Patriots win seven games, I have to retract my it's a bad loss statement. The Raiders won seven games last year, ergo not a bad loss that the Chiefs lost to the Raiders?
Maybe it wasn't a bad loss. But, but again,
there's a logic problem here. They were 7-8 last year.
I wasn't on the show the next day saying that's the worst loss.
I was at home saying that.
Cody was gone. I was on the show.
Did you say it was one of the worst losses of the year? And blast the Chiefs. I did not. Look, they lost the game. I took no joy in seeing that.
They were 9-6 after that.
It doesn't matter. Where you guys and Chiefs fans are.
Take joy in the Bengals' loss?
Are overwhelmingly joyful today. So much where I got 50 mentions yesterday.
You're a Bengals fan in Kansas City.
You're on the radio in Kansas City and you're a Cincinnati fan. Of course, people are going to give you a hard time.
I know, but you guys
are the only target of their desire.
I thought that you guys were going to like at least not worry about me or whatever. Everybody, as soon as the game happened, hey, is Drew all right?
Checking on you. I was good.
There were some good news yesterday. I won a parlay yesterday.
Well, that's nice. And good news for you.
The Bengals are going to bounce back. It's all right.
Your college football team won yesterday. Kansas State, the Wildcats. Are you still honoring them?
Well, I picked K-State to lose, technically, which it was looking that way for a little bit, if you remember, on Friday.
He's just being honest.
Well, this is the thing, too. Tulane, somebody on the text line said that was a terrible game and K-State looked bad.
I disagree with that.
I don't think people realize how good Tulane might go. Tulane play Oklahoma next week. They might go 10-2 and win the conference, and maybe they're on the brink of making the playoffs. So it's not a bad loss.
No, it was a tough road.
Tulane's a salty team.
Yeah.
Tulane's a tough test. K-State squeaked that one out. They should feel very good about going on the road and getting that done.
But hey. It's college football.
On the flip side, we talked about Kansas earlier, right? Like, that's a bad, bad loss. You have to find a way, even when you're not playing well at quarterback, to win that game. They didn't. Kansas State found a way to win at Tulane. That's all that matters. As far as the Wildcats, the one thing that is confusing to me for a team that has the ability to be one of the top 12 teams in the country this year,
and
as in
getting
the college football playoff. Avery Johnston, they got to let him do what he does best. Like, they have got to open things up a little bit for him if they want to maximize, to me, what you have at quarterback. Like, I think he's going to be really good, but so far I haven't seen anything that, like,
It's very conservative play calling.
What we've all been told, and I don't think it's his fault. I think they need to open things up at some point. I know they got the win, but, like, to me, they're not letting him do everything that he's capable of doing.
They got to have slow starts on offense in both week one and in week two.
Yeah, I think it's conservative play calling for the most part. I was far more impressed in week two out of Avery Johnston than what I thought was a really mediocre week one for them in a game in which I felt like they could have blown them out even more. There's really two big takeaways. One, I think that Mensa kid might be a future first-round pick. That kid can absolutely play. So having to hang against him, yeah, it was going to be a battle. Because when it all shakes out, people are going to talk about that kid more and more over the next couple of years in college football, or he's going to end up in an even bigger program. And you'll really know his name by then. But Avery Johnston was a huge reason why they won that game. The only question I have remaining on their offense is, are you going to get Dylan Edwards the ball more? Because every time he touched it was good for 20, and I'm not sure why they didn't utilize that more. Much like you talked about with other run games in the NFL, I'm not sure how you couldn't look at that game, and you talked about in the Kansas game. I'm not sure you could look at that game and not say, let's get Dylan Edwards the ball more. Let's just be a running team. Like, in a lot of ways, I know you're saying open it up for Avery Johnston, but for me, that comes off of handing the ball off in these situations where the way they run is so effective. I'm not so sure that you shouldn't dominate teams in that way, a way a college football team could, where you should be 250 yards on some Saturdays or 300 yards rushing on some Saturdays. Not all of them, but you could have done that against Tulane.
The way that you're talking about is you want them to be more like the way Ole Miss was when they had Quinshon Judkins
last
year, where they utilized two or three different running backs and Jackson Dart could run where, I mean, they ran for 215 yards and DJ Giddens is the bell cow, but
yeah, I feel like they could. I think they should split that more with Edwards and Giddens.
What you're saying, where getting Edwards, even if it's out of the backfield, like they've thrown the ball a couple of times, but find a way to, because the premise around Avery Johnston or the consensus seems to be, compared to Will Howard last year, Avery Johnson's the better. He's got better arm talent than Will Howard, to where you can open up.
I think they will.
Let him throw the ball a little bit more because he's got that capability. But I thought
a lot of stuff behind the line is scrimmage.
One of the things for Kansas State that I'd be a little bit concerned by, though, is the secondary. Coach Klieman is praised all summer long, they got shredded.
I think
Mintz
is that good, though.
I think he is, too, but there were blown coverages left and right in that game, too. I mean, for them to find a way to win it, they were able to create some turnovers and cause problems. It's a really high-quality win for K-State. I think people look back on this one and be encircle it. Yeah, it's a really good win on the road. Again, the Big 12 is as wide open as any other conference is, maybe the most open, because KU still has a shot at it. K-State is in a really good spot. Utah has looked a little shaky. They looked a little shaky against Baylor yesterday, only won by 11 points. Cam Rising, of course, health is a concern with him, but K-State are in a good position. Oklahoma State found a way to win against Arkansas as well.
Yeah, Cam Rising hurt his hand. They don't think it's serious, but he's got a hand injury of some sort. We'll talk a little bit more about Missouri tomorrow because they haven't given up a single point.
That was a no-sweat Saturday for them.
The Missouri Tigers have now given up a single point to open up the season, so we'll focus on them a little bit more tomorrow on the show because that is historical, and it puts them in historical context of what they're doing
this season. First time in 90 or 89 years that...
Mm-hmm. They get Boston College this week. It's not a great college slate this weekend. I know, Drew, I'm sure you'll talk about it in your podcast.
Yeah.
This could be one of the best games of the entire week.
That one, and K-State plays on Friday against Arizona. The two ranked matchups, the only two of the weekend, I believe, involve K-State and Missouri.
What's the line? What's the early line?
That's a good question.
Who'd have thought before the season started that Boston College and Missouri would have been a ranked matchup in week three? I don't think anybody.
True. A few years ago, you certainly wouldn't have believed it, but I would say they are currently a...
Here's the local. So K-State
16.5 point favorite.
K-State is a 7.5 point favorite against Arizona. Kansas is a 6.5 point favorite against UNLV. And then you just said Cody, Missouri is a what?
I think 16.5 point favorite, if I'm looking at this right.
I was scrolling trying to find it.
Why isn't it at the top? You just said it was one of the better ones of the...
I'm just on FanDuel real quick.
The slate. I just like quickly Googled it because I didn't want to scroll through, but
16.5. Yep.
Okay.
There it is.
It's a pretty heavy favorite. It's fun to have all three locals to talk about. I know we got to KU and K-State tomorrow or today. Part of the reason to get to Missouri is because
we got a huge game.
They kicked their ass. There weren't as many questions coming out of that game for Missouri as there were for Kansas, who lost the game, and Kansas State, who had a fight against Tulane versus Missouri, who just ran over opponent for the second straight week. Looked like they got all sides of their team together.
He'll be all right.
Yeah, and they didn't need him.
He left the game at halftime, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't need Luther Burden in that game. If you don't need him, who cares? Sick? Just as long as he's there for Boston College or for some of the other SEC games when those start kicking in, then we'll have a different conversation. But right now, Missouri looking really good in what is going to be the easiest SEC schedule they'll get for a decade.
That's why the path is there. The path is there for the Tigers to have a really, really special season. Earlier in the show, we were talking about Nebraska and Colorado and Dylan Raiola and his pregame routine and everything. Patrick Mahomes, those are connected now since one is trying to be like the other, not just on the field, but off the field. Patrick Mahomes will join the drive, real Patrick Mahomes joining the drive at 3:15
today. Dylan Raiola,
Mahomes will join the drive right here on 96.5 The Fan at 3:15.
Speck was all fired up so much so he wanted me to put some respect on Nebraska's name over the weekend. I was surprised to hear that from Speck.
Look, Nebraska hasn't earned the right to say put some respect on our name. They haven't been good in 20 years.
The optimism is there for Nebraska.
I'm not trying
fans,
to pick
man.
On Nebraska. I'm just saying you can't be like, put some respect on our name. I'm like, when's the last time you were good?
No, they look like they're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, for sure.
A team they lost to a year ago, they just destroyed. Colorado, to me, is the exact same team as a year ago. Nebraska's better. They just beat Colorado and looked really impressive doing it. They have a quarterback. Let's see what happens when they get into Big Ten play. That's a fair thing to hold judgment on. Maybe they're undefeated going into the Ohio State game later on this season.
They could be 7-0. Yeah.
Going into Ohio State game. Now, then we can start talking. Then we can start talking more. But, overall, the college football weekend was another really solid one. Notre Dame, everybody was already marking their spot on the college football playoff after beating USC. They lose to Northern Illinois, and how cool was that? Their coach was super emotional. The post-game interview was awesome.
Build the statue of Thomas Hammack in DeKalb, Illinois, man.
Really, really cool. That was really neat to see.
Was that game better than the Carolina Panthers-Saints game?
Was which game?
No, Notre Dame.
It was an upset of Notre Dame.
All right. Okay.
What are you trying to argue?
I'm just saying, going back to previous conversations that we've had.
Was that game better? The point was that Cincinnati...
Are you asking, is Notre Dame's loss more embarrassing than Cincinnati's loss?
No, I'm asking, was the game better? Because this is not the vibe conversation. This is a different conversation we've had.
The game better.
In college football, upsets of a top 10 team with an unranked team, those are always going to be great. Those are always going
to
be fun.
Going back to my how many games get better than Florida State, Georgia Tech. How many NFL games? I'll tell you what.
I don't know. Overtime last night, Rams and Lions was a pretty damn good game, too.
I would rather watch many college football games from this weekend more than the NFL games that we saw.
Well, I enjoyed the hell out of yesterday. Red Zone channel all day. It was beautiful. It really was beautiful.
It was good.
Chiefs play like what? Two noon games all year? Three noon games
Something
all year?
Something like that.
Sunday ticket was fired.
And one of them's like Black Friday at noon or whatever. So it's like different.
Yeah.
Not even like true noon game.
All right, up next, guys, we'll get to what's trending here on 96.5 The Fan and right back into the key for the Royals sweep over the weekend.
What's trending?
Number one on what's trending went over the weekend, the Royals got the sweep. We're going to talk more about what went into that. It means the Royals are just 2.5 games back in the American League Central. They're in action again tonight up in the Bronx right here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Royals. It will be Brady Singer on the bump this evening against Carlos Rodon of the Yankees. Yankees are 82-61, the Royals 79-65. First pitch, 6:05 tonight, Vern's on deck show at 5 o'clock here on 96.5 The Fan.
Go stick it to the Yankees tonight. We'll talk more about the Royals coming up here in just a few minutes. But yeah, go stick it to Aaron Judge and his stupid future MVP. Next up on what's trending, all three local schools over the weekend, only one fell short. Missouri obviously absolutely cruised in their win. K-State got a win late, touchdown lead 34-27 over Tulane. And Kansas came up short in a surprising effort. You just shaking
bad
your head.
Bad loss, man. Bad loss.
To Illinois on the road. It was a sold-out crowd for Illinois. It's the first ranked win I think they'd had against opponent in 10 years.
Yeah, they stormed the field.
They've been a lot like Kansas over the years. That has not been a good football program at all. So this is a big win for their program and for their head coach starting 2-0. That's a bad loss for Kansas football over the weekend. Jalen Daniels threw multiple picks, 3 interceptions, I believe, on the game in the 23-17 loss to Illinois.
Kind of bounce back in a big way, and everybody's been keeping an eye on Jalen Daniels. Does he look
better,
like the quarterback from a couple years ago, or they now don't have a quarterback? That obviously shifts the entire conversation. We shall see when they play UNLV on Friday. Next up on What's Trending, Monday Night Football tonight to wrap up week one of the season. It's the Jets. Aaron Rodgers, obviously, basically making his debut after only playing 4 snaps a year ago. They're 4.5-point underdogs at the Niners. Of course, Brock Purdy, they'll have a full compliment. Everybody's there, ready to roll. Christian McCaffrey, technically questionable heading into tonight. I haven't seen anything to suggest that he's not going to play. But we'll see. I mean, I think if you're a Chiefs fan, keep an eye on what the Jets do. If Aaron Rodgers can look like he did a couple years ago, then suddenly the Jets are part of the conversation. If he doesn't look great, then we don't have to worry about the Jets anymore.
Also worth keeping an eye on, Drew is at risk in the Cody and Gold Guillotine League tonight.
Yeah.
He is at the bottom of the standings and at real risk. You and I are safe.
There's a correlation you guys can figure.
He's got a few Bengals.
Cincinnati didn't have a good week. He drafted Burrow and he had Chase. Neither one had a good week, and that'll get you in potential to be chopped. I think you're going to be good, but it's going to be close.
The wide receiver, I had Luke McCaffrey, didn't have that great of a day. Tajay Spears,
my roster is kind of bad.
The roster is really not looking that good. I just need to get through week one. And
he's really
banking
everything on Jamar Chase on that thing.
Isn't it crazy, though? I won the league last year, and I could be the first out this year. That'd be quite a turn of events.
That would be quite a turn.
I think
you're
safe. That's
leagues, baby.
I think he's safe. It's going to be close, though. I think you'll barely make the cut.
Next up on What's Trending, a couple of injury updates across the league. The Bills saying they're in wait-and-see mode on Josh Allen's hand. It was injured on that tremendous run late in the game that gave the Bills the lead. They're saying they'll wait and see. I have a hard time imagining that's something that would keep Josh Allen out. They're not making it sound too serious. But Rome Odunze is set to have an MRI, according to Matt Eberflus of the Chicago Bears. So have to keep an eye on a rookie wide receiver already needing an MRI.
Yeah, still no update also on Puka Nacua with the Rams. He had a knee injury during camp. He played last night, then left the game. He's expected to have some testing. Early indication is that he might be missing multiple weeks. We shall see. Lastly, though, on what's trending, for those of you in Missouri, this is more interesting to you, but a Missouri judge did rule that Sports Betting's initiative to be on the ballot can't remain on the November ballot.
Good.
There was a lawsuit that was out there from two individuals questioning the validity of signatures during the balloting process. That lawsuit did not get dismissed, so that's what made people wonder if it was going to cause some problems. Ultimately, though, on Friday afternoon, they ruled in favor of the Secretary of State's office. So, Missourians will still have the opportunity to decide in November at the ballot box if sports wagering will be legalized in their state. That's what's trending.
Somebody over on the text line said, it's my first time ever doing fantasy football. I started Carson Steele in this guillotine league. How am I still alive? They also had Roma Dunze, who did not have a good game. Drew, how do you have the worst score? If they're starting...
Well, he doesn't have the worst.
I was going to say, I might have.
I might have the worst.
Here, I have nobody playing tonight.
Yeah, he doesn't have done. He doesn't have the worst. Let's see. We're down to... Wi-Fi is going to give me a problem right as I need to pull this up. But...
Somewhere over Dwayne Bowe is 51 points are projected as 74. They have George Kittle and
that's
Brandon
not the
Ayuk
team.
Tonight.
It's the other team that you got to watch out for. That's four behind you, right?
Yeah, Q's doppelganger. They have backup running back Jordan Mason for the Niners. Yeah. I need your boy McCaffrey, Cody, to
stay healthy and not steal some random. You don't need him to be like, ooh, I just need a quick one on a 2 yard line play.
Yeah, correct. My problem also was I had 7 points combined from Noah Fant and Luke McCaffrey. Noah Fant did not have a good game for Seattle. Yeah.
I would have survived, Josh Allen and Jaden Reed alone. I don't even think I needed a single other player on my team in that league.
I don't remember what we agreed to. Drew's got a ton of bets on the line for the Cincinnati game, but didn't we say if one of us gets chopped in week one,
I think
isn't
I was
there a
allowed
punishment?
To write a diss track about one of you.
Okay.
And that my I think that's what it was. And then I think my song ban got extended another month.
That's right. Yeah.
If I'm not getting knocked out. And the diss track will have to wait at least until the 21st. I'm not allowed to enter that record ahead of time. I don't think that qualifies.
I mean, you might have a lot of material for that diss.
Cincinnati and this, I might be loaded.
You might have a
I might have to rewrite disc. Not about me, you know, like not like us, just because
you
just because Kendrick Lamar's announcement.
You will not have any writer's block.
Yeah, so we'll see how tonight's goes. And then, of course, later in the week, we'll have Paul Charchin of GuillotineLeagues.com getting us set for that time. Week two of the season. Let's talk more about the Royals. We also know that we're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of that 2014 wild card game. And reminder, you can listen to that entire wild card game from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. on Monday, September 30th. We'll also have some special content and guests throughout the day. Then you can listen to the best part, the bottom of the 8th through the bottom of the 12th from 2014 from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. on Monday, September 30th. So at that point, it'll be getting ready to kick off the start of this generation, this era, I guess I should say, of the Royals playoff run, remembering what 2014 was like. So we'll have a cool wildcard anniversary celebration going on the 30th.
I'm getting excited just starting to think about when Royals playoff game postseason times might be like, ooh, it's so close. Because after that sweep of the Twins, they're in. Look, I thought they were in anyway. But if for some reason you were the fan on the fence and one win on Wednesday wasn't going to talk you into everything is fine after that long losing, well, a sweep of the Twins on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday should certainly do it. A full-blown sweep of the team closest to you in the wild card standings should do it. Because now not only do the Red Sox and the Tigers have to try to catch you, so do the Twins. The Twins have to worry about the people behind them before they even get to try to catch up with you. And so that part of it absolutely plays a factor. Not only 2.5 games back of the Division Two, maybe we have to open that conversation back up again. Because I thought they had lost the division the second that long losing streak happened. And all of a sudden, I'm looking at the standings and the 2.5 games back again. Every time I think that the division might be done, it's not done. It's decidedly not done.
Yeah, we've kind of gone back and forth, you and I, on that multiple times throughout the season about this division.
I'm done going back and
about
forth
this divisional race. A lot of it will have to do with what they do against the Yankees because you just things change so quickly. But we're down to what are we 17 games left, something like that now.
Yeah, there's just not enough time to catch up.
One thing though is clear: we know throughout this season the defense and great starting pitching has been key and. This weekend,
that was great.
They got unbelievable outings from every single starter.
And now they're getting ready to do Singer, Lugo, and Reagans against the Yankees.
And obviously a smaller ballpark. We'll see how that goes. If the offense can come to play a little bit too. But a .67 ERA from their starters against the Twins, 27 innings. You get a comeback victory mixed in there, which that was also, I think, just a good sign to see this team once again. Like we've seen throughout the season, they can come back.
But it's been a little while.
But because of the losing streak, like, hey, can this group without Vinny, basically, can they come back and win one? And they did on Saturday night in a great crowd out of Kauffman. It was an awesome atmosphere to be out there. Their opponent the Twins in this series only averaged .154. It was just a dominating weekend series, so much that the manager of the Twins, Rocco Baldelli, was like all bent out of shape yesterday. Only took one question, I think it was, in their post game.
By the way, the Royals only have one homestand remaining. Six games starting next week. Get yourself a ticket. Get out to the K. Feel that atmosphere before maybe you get priced out. I don't know. Come playoff time or anything in between. It's more likely you can afford a ticket now than if they're playing October baseball. If they get back to Kansas City, the wild card lays out a way that they might not. So this might be your last chance to see Kansas City in Kansas City in what has been a tremendous season. So I would encourage you to get out to the K in a week. But yeah, I think that what you're looking at is a team that found a way to bounce back from what was a devastating injury. Lucas Ursig threw an errant ball. Unfortunately, and not on purpose, and I'm not blaming Lucas, you know, led to a Vinny broken thumb, which led to a losing streak because I think they were deflated. And the second they started to feel good about themselves again, they were back to being the team that they were. Starting pitching, really good defense, using only the 1 to 2 to 3 bullpen arms they could trust, just Ursig and Bubich. And by the way, all of a sudden, Daniel Lynch, that is not a name I was planning on attributing multiple wins to this late in the season. Daniel Lynch has straight up helped them win multiple baseball games because they found a role that works for him. And so if they're going to start getting contributions from other areas of the field, well, then we're having a very different conversation. Plus, I assume this helped.
Gonna make it. Oh, yeah. They're still gonna make it.
How much do you credit the song for the winning streak?
I'll give you 5%.
5%? That's better than normal.
Yeah, I'll give you 5%.
That's it? 5%?
Yes.
The results speak for themselves, Drew.
5%.
Every time I do a song, things get better. What do you think? I'm just purposely timing this out? I was banned and then finally fought to end the band.
I went ahead and knocked on wood for you.
Thanks, man. Well, I mean, I can't do another song for at least another 12 days.
I'm just saying it doesn't have to be just about the Royals. I'm just saying in general.
I'm not allowed to do any song until the 21st.
Right. Well, I know. I'm just...
Text line says the Chiefs went on Thursday as the kicker that helped the Royals get the sweep. They fed off the Chiefs' energy. Yeah, I agree.
They were out there at the game. I Vinny, Bobby. Yeah,
they felt it. They felt
MJ,
the energy in the city.
The banner get raised. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all that.
Did you hear Bobby on Friday? Friday night, or Saturday night, after the Royals made the come from behind, you said the atmosphere was electric by all accounts. Certainly came off that way on television. Bobby, after that game, said it was really loud on Arrowhead on Thursday. It felt louder tonight. He said that about Kauffman on Saturday, and he said it while pointing at his arms, signifying goosebumps. So, like, Bobby felt the energy on Saturday.
I'm glad. Yeah, I'm not going to get an argument on whether or not.
Which one was louder?
Yeah, I was. I would just go with the math and say it's probably more likely Arrowhead was louder. But that's
70,000 people were louder than 30,000.
But maybe. I was there Saturday. In the first six innings, it was kind of a snooze fest. There wasn't much energy. And then the eighth inning, when the comeback started, Kyle Isbell, of course, has the big hit. That place got loud. Yeah, Saturday, it got very, very loud, and that's hopefully what they can expect the rest of the way, and just wait until they get a hopefully have a home playoff game at some point. If they get that opportunity, wait till what the crowd's going to be like for that. But whatever works, man, whatever works this, for the team to feel the city's behind them, it helps motivate them, all that we're here for.
Somebody over on the text line said, hey, Cody, give me a pair of company tickets. I'll tell you what, first guy to text it in, I'll ask. Because Carrington did the same thing, and I actually think I respect it. I think he said the same thing. More people should be going to these games, and he expects more people to go to these games, especially in the coming years. He said he offered 4 different people free tickets, and only 2 of them took it. The other ones were like, you know, kids. Oh, so now the excuses are okay. I'll offer you if you really will go on the next homestand. I will go downstairs, and I will try to get you some tickets, Texter. I'll ask her. I'll see how many free tickets I can get. By next week, I'll see how many I can procure. I'll text Sam Mellinger of the Royals. I'll ask whoever has some tickets floating around, and I'll see how many free tickets we can get. Because I really do want people at the games. Like, these last 6 home games in a year that has been this good, this fun, and I don't know what the playoffs are going to bring yet. Neither do you, neither do any of us, but... You know, I want more people.
I know exactly what it's going to bring, actually.
World Series? Yeah, I know exactly. Anytime they win this many games, they pretty much just go to the World Series. So maybe it's that.
Yeah.
The people in the text line like
tag
okay.
Cody on Twitter, and if he doesn't get you free tickets, then you can blame him. So
blame me for what? Not going
at Cody B Tap on Twitter.
Say, it's a lot of pressure you're putting yourself under to make sure that people get.
I'll do
tickets.
What I can to get as many as possible. Okay, There's a long line.
Look
now.
What you've done on the text line.
I said I'll try. What's now I'm gonna have to really work hard at this. Gonna make a fourth job.
What do they say, Drew? Under promise, over deliver. Cody just did the opposite.
You overpromised,
and hopefully you don't under deliver.
Yeah.
Don't worry. I'm going to have to be on the horn later today and see how many I can get away with. To see how many I can score. Maybe I could message the woman who's working down in crown seats. I'll get some tickets. Someone says they've already been to 34 games. So you don't need free tickets. You're fine. You've done your part.
34 is impressive.
Obviously, the most I ever went to was 81 when I covered the team.
There was a nice couple.
I went to like 35. That's a lot of games. Like 35, 36?
Saturday at the game, we were there early because of the bobblehead thing. And I was with my future brother-in-law and sister. We were just out in the outfield area sitting down. Met a nice couple, whatever. They do like a 20-game pack. And I was like, that's like the perfect. That's a lot of games, too.
It's a lot of games.
Like, because any more than that is tough. You got to split a season ticket package, I feel like, with people if you're going to do like 80 games and all that.
I think a half season is the best way to go. Two seats, you and another couple, and you guys just draft off the games you want. Each person gets 20 games. That's a lot of baseball.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, the 20 game, I think, was a flex thing they were saying. Then it was funny. We were somehow talking about the hot dog derby just like amongst us, and then they overheard the conversation, and they're like, and they heard me mention you, and all of a sudden they're like, wait, and the guy listens to the station.
So, oh, no.
Him and his wife.
Big fan of the songs or no? What was the vibe there?
I didn't ask him about the songs.
Okay. I thought maybe it came up.
It's gracious.
Usually people give a pretty strong opinion.
It's about the hot dog derby. They're like, did you run in the derby? And I said, yes. And then that's how this whole conversation started.
Did you bring up the fact that he's racing in the Race of Champions? How do they feel about that?
I said he's going to be 0-4.
Hot dog championship coming up. September 20th. By the way, if you're getting tickets for any game, September 21st, I'll be in the Hot Dog Championship. If you'd like to witness that, I'll be racing in that against some stiff competition.
I'm
going to be tough.
A former professional athlete.
I'm going to have to trip someone, or they're going to have to trip, or they're going to have to run really scared in that costume. I'm not afraid to run in that costume anymore, but you know. Still, man. God,
someone says, wow, Cody will get random people gifts, but as he told us finally after 2 years what he got his wife for Mother's Day, the answer was absolutely nothing.
The text line. How long ago were you listening, sir?
They're getting caught up on the app. Someone also getting caught up on the app today says, man, I've enjoyed Drew coping about the Bengals all day. Sorry, buddy.
It's a tough day, man.
You're doing better, though, now. Like, be honest.
Earlier,
10 o'clock hour, we were giving you a pretty hard time there, and we were pushing you a little bit. You got a little salty because we were giving you a really hard time. You seem like you've got it out. Everybody's good now.
I think if it weren't for you guys, I would honestly be fine still. But the fact that
we're not making it easier. An easy day to pick.
For example, when the Bengals lost in the Super Bowl, worst loss of it, so many things went wrong at the end. I hated.
That's a tough day.
We've
been there for those.
My wife and I watched a movie afterwards, and it was like nothing had happened. It was fine. But the fact that I knew I had to come here today, and I knew that you guys would give me a hard time, and I knew that Speck would say the window's done, Drew. It's closed. Settle down. It's okay.
It'd have been easier to just game. Like losing on Sunday wouldn't have been that big of a deal. It's like that's a regular season game.
Patriots.
People lose games. Losing to the Patriots was way worse.
I know it's the Patriots.
Patriots is the problem there. Someone else brought up a good point, and I appreciate the reminder. This is true. And Drew, you're gonna have to shut his computer down. You're not allowed to play that song until the 21st again.
That song can't play.
Yeah, you
not
cannot.
Even a clip of it.
The song is banned. Yeah. I've been way too nice today. We're all in a good mood.
So you're saying
good.
The song cannot.
The 21st.
No matter how good the song did.
Yeah, so no more. That was tough. On Friday, and you got to play a couple clips today. I forgot about that. Thank you,
I didn't realize that was part of the rules.
It was a good reminder from the text line. I forgot as well.
Was that in the bylaws we all agreed to?
Cody, if you want to play anything back in sound, you have to tell Alex to play it. Because
I need somebody else to choose to play it.
Well, because
tough.
If you're gonna,
I'm not going to win
that
battle.
If you plan on playing any audio coming back, you tell Gold because your computer.
I'm going to be muted.
Yeah.
Well, can I just play regular audio and agree not to play the songs?
If he agrees. If he agrees. If not, you got to turn that mic.
I was going to say,
or turn his mic off
as well.
Each
time I play it, it's like an extra day or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's too bad. I didn't know. I don't remember agreeing to that. We'd have to go back.
Real quick, tonight we mentioned Monday Night Football, Jets and Niners. One, I'm interested because the Niners, of course, the Chiefs have played in a couple Super Bowls here recently.
Curious to know if Aaron Rodgers,
are the Jets going to be a factor or not? If Rodgers goes out there and looks really good, I think people have to look at that roster and recognize they're going to be a factor. I have questions about the head coach, but if Rodgers looks old tonight and not sharp and the O-line's not protecting him, then nothing has changed. Nope. But if they protect him, he has time against a really good Niners team, a really good Niners defense, then I think it'll open people's eyes up a little bit about what the Jets can be. But I think tonight, they're 4.5-point underdogs. I think I would take the Jets to cover. I don't know about winning outright. I think I would take the Jets plus 4.5 if someone said I had to make a bet.
Yeah, I don't want to bet it because I don't have any evidence to support what the hell the Jets are. With Aaron Rodgers versus without Aaron, I assume their defense is still pretty good because it was pretty good last year. Pretty good defensive line, pretty good secondary. So you'd think they were really good last year. I assume they're still good there, but I don't know. You know, I just wouldn't bet it. I still think the 49ers will win.
I went ahead and I bid on the Garrett Wilson first-time touchdown because Aaron Rodgers gets the ball inside the 5. He's going to throw that back shoulder little quick route or the quick flat route. He's going to throw the back shoulder while he throws. He's thrown to Devontae Adams 100,000 times. I made a bet on the Jets tonight, which is not what I was expecting to do. But I don't know. I'm sipping the Kool-Aid a little bit on Mr. Rodgers. Did you see, by the way, he had a sit down? I don't know who he sat down with, but he said he thought it was over after the Achilles tear. He thought he was
done. Wouldn't you?
At his age?
I was 40 years old and I just tore my Achilles. I definitely think it was over.
Yeah. We're back at it tomorrow, 10-2 here on Cody and Gold. We'll have JJ Piccolo, Royals general manager on the show, plus Nate Taylor on your home for the Chiefs and Royals, 96.5 The Fan.